All right, look, I'm so glad you're here tonight. God bless you. You know, today was when I was seeking the Lord for this time right now, something funny, okay, I say funny, but it's really not funny because God knows us all. He knows what we're going through. And sometimes when I'm receiving something, I want to question, well, Lord, where did that come from? Did I pick that up here? It doesn't matter where you pick it up because you do pick it up. Whether it's from a child's voice or the TV or news or one of you, you know, you hear with the Spirit and He hears what you're about to say. But I just felt that there's probably, well, I know there's more than one of you, but there's some of you here that are thinking, you know, really justice needs to be served on that deal. God, justice has not been served. They're getting by with all that junk. And it's just not right. Okay, so I looked at myself and I said, now, Lord, am I judging that according to the TV, what I'm seeing go on there? It seems like they're just getting by with everything. I mean, it's just the crazy, evil. It just seems to be taking over. But God said it'll never happen. When darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people, what happens? My glory will be seen upon you. But I knew in my heart that it went farther than that. So I don't know if you've had children that were in trouble and justice wasn't served where it was served and they were accused wrongfully, or you're waiting on a settlement or something and you really need that settlement and that settlement hasn't come through the courts. The courts is not, they're not acting justly, and they're not releasing that. So, you know, I could go on and give some examples, and I'm not quite sure what all that's about. But I go in to my office this afternoon, and I turned right to it. That's how I always know it's confirmed by the word of the Lord, because I don't care to bring you what I feel unless it's backed up by the word of the Lord. But would you look with me at Isaiah 59? And I think we'll have some time to pray here, because I don't want to get this complicated. I just want to send it out to you who need it, because I think it's going to comfort you. I know it will. It will comfort you. It will help you. Take a look at this. Isaiah 59. Let's start reading at verse 9. Therefore, justice, these poor people are crying out. Therefore, justice is far from us, nor does righteousness overtake us. We look for light, but there's darkness. We look for brightness, but we walk in blackness. We grope for the wall like the blind. Lord, it doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere. Tommy Tinney. And I probably said this, referenced this to you before. He said in the old days, and I can remember this as a little girl, and some of you who were raised in a poorhouse, you'll remember the light bulb that stuck out of the ceiling, just the light bulb. It didn't have no pretty shade on it. And then what happened? It had a string that hung down, a long string. So you pulled it up down to turn the light on and off. But then if you got up in the middle of the night, how'd you find that string? There was no switch. I'll have to tell my grandbabies that. They won't believe it. So this is kind of what verse 10 is saying. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. And we stumble at noonday as twilight. All right, I want us to stop right now. Right, stop right there. Now, these people, look at me a minute, church. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. Jesus had not died on the cross yet. He had not gone away and given us the New Testament to read and to get that word in our heart. But there's so many times I feel like we look at this too, and we say, Lord, justice is far from us. You got a mother suffering or a child suffering, or you're looking at something that's been unjustly, and you said, justice, Lord, is just nowhere to be found. And I just feel like I'm one just groping a wall like a blind man trying to find my way through. I'm just trying to find a wall. And then he said, and they grope. Grope as one who had no eyes, like a blind man. All right, look at verse 14. Verse 14, same chapter 59, Verse 14, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the streets. And somebody say, amen. Has truth fallen in the American streets today? Huh? Truth has totally fallen. The truth has fallen in the streets, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails. And he who departs from evil, he makes himself a prey. So if you depart from evil and you try to get away from him today, you may be locked up and put in jail. There's a lot of people suffering in prisons innocently tonight because justice was turned back. All right, I want you to go back. Gosh, I could go everywhere in this chapter, but I don't want to do the whole chapter. Look at verse 4. I love this. I love this verse. It's so amazing. Verse 4. No one, God speaking through the prophet Isaiah, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies, and they conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and they weave spider's webs, and he who eats their eggs dies from that which is crushed. A viper breaks out. Okay, that's pretty bad news right there. And he says, is anyone going to call for justice? And the prophet says, hey, you don't have any justice, but you can sure call for God and ask him to give you justice. Is anybody calling for justice? Because God sees a need. He said, man, folks, I want you to have it. And then he says, does anyone plead for the truth? Well, I'm telling you right now, there's millions of Americans right now, the people of God, who are pleading, God, give us the truth. And again, I tell you, get out there and vote on Tuesday. Please do. It's what a good citizen of America does. Okay, so you plead for the truth in this whole thing. Let's get down to the truth. Because it said, they who, evil, they trust in empty words. We listen, you and I have absolutely no time. And we cannot take a chance on trusting on empty words. Okay, these promises that he gave us in the New Testament, they're not empty. They're full of life. They're full of trust. They're full of God. So he says, now you call for justice and plead for the truth, but don't you fall into the empty lies. All right. Go down to verse, I know I'm cutting around here. Go down to verse 16. Verse 16. Oh, this, thank God for this. These poor people, how in the world did they survive? Verse 16, then the Lord saw it. He saw what? That they weren't getting the justice that they deserved. Oh, the fairness. There was nothing fair to these sweet, innocent people. But it looked like evil was taken over. Look at verse 16 again. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. He didn't like it, not one bit. And there was no justice. And look at this. This is probably, I don't know, I'm just guessing, probably the only time in the Word that I can ever remember seeing this. And verse 16 again. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. What? God wondered about something? You mean to tell me God thought, I wonder. I just can't figure that out. He wondered about something. Why was there no justice? And then look at the next verse. What was he wondering about? The biggest thing that God wondered about, the only thing mainly that we ever see that he wondered about, it wasn't about even people dying or being sick or suffering. It says, he wondered that there was no intercessor. How can it be? I just can't figure it out. And I'm wondering why there's no intercessor, why there's nobody praying. Why isn't anybody praying for justice? I told you to ask for it. Therefore, his own arm. He said, well, look, look at me, look, church. He said, I wonder that there's no intercessor. And then he thought this, well, I'll just take care of it myself. I'll just take care of you myself. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. His own. It came out of him. All right, but before we turn to page or go to the next verse, because it's very important, look at chapter 59, verse 1. So, so encouraging. Behold the Lord's hand. It's not too short. It's not shortened that it can't save, and his ear is not heavy that it can't hear. Hallelujah. But your iniquities have separated you. Well, they don't separate us anymore because we're with Jesus, all right? Jesus died for us. All right, so after God wondered, then he said this, look, let me just take care of it myself. So his own arm, he brought, with his own arm, he brought salvation. And his own righteousness, it sustained him. Talking about Jesus here. Now turn to page to verse 17. For he, look what he did. First time this is recorded, he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Just covered the important part of a man and a woman and a child, a human. The important part of the body is the heart, the lungs, the breath, and all those special organs in between the neck and the groin. He put righteousness on a breastplate and, look, a helmet of salvation on his head to protect his head. How many is watching the Dodgers game or the World Series? They all have on helmets. Why? To protect their head. Soldiers wear helmets to protect their head. So Jesus not only put on a breastplate of righteousness, of holiness, but a helmet of salvation on his head to protect his brain, his head, his eyes. He put on the garments of vengeance, vengeance for clothing. Which means, what does that mean? You know what it means. Almost everybody in the world can quote it, saved or unsaved. Vengeance is mine. I will do what? I will repay. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. And so how many times, as a pastor, you've had acquaintances, friends, or family where they said, I'm going to go after them. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to get them. They hurt my baby. And you really couldn't hardly blame them. They had a right to. But it wouldn't be any good to spend the rest of their life in jail. So I've had to say to them, and so have you, so many times, look, wait, leave it to God. Vengeance is his. He will repay. He will take care of it. Let him deal with it. And here we've got it. So Jesus, he put on righteousness for breastplate, a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put a garment of vengeance. In other words, I will take care of this justice for you, this fairness. So he put on the garment of vengeance for clothing. That was his clothes. And he was clad with zeal as a cloak. There was some joy. There was some strength. There was some power. There was some determination. According to their deeds, verse 18, according to their deeds, accordingly, somebody, you need to underline this, according to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay. So you don't have to worry about all the unfairness that happened to your family, your sons, your daughters. Leave it alone. According to their deeds, he said, he will repay. Jesus. Fury, what will he give? Fury to the adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. So shall they fear. The what? The wicked? The one that was so unjust? Oh, no. He said they will fear, and then they'll fear what? The name of the Lord, not you, but they'll fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory that we just talked about, the glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, how many's ever had him come in like a flood at your house or in your home or in your mind? I mean, just 15 different places at once. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit, the Lord, the Holy Ghost who's in us, will lift up a standard, who is Christ, against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, that's us, the people of God, and to those who turn from transgressions, in Jacob, says the Lord. Now, I'll close with this, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit, who is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth. He's counting on that. He's counting on it. That's why he gave us the word of God. Put this word in your mouth and don't ever let it depart from your mouth or your descendants or the mouth of your descendants. Your descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. So he said, now teach this to your babies. Teach it to the kids so they may get way out there. But he said, this word that's in you, let it be in them and their descendants and theirs and theirs and theirs. And let it just go on down. All right. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Stand with me tonight. Well, we're not going to go up over there, but you're all very familiar with Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God chapter. And what did he say? Put on the whole armor that you might be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. Oh, what? The helmet of salvation? Jesus was the first one to have the helmet, Lan. He was the first one. Put on the helmet of salvation. What then? Just like him. The breastplate of righteousness. It was his first. But he said, I've given you one too. So you put on that breastplate. And the garment, your cloak, just like he's had a garment of vengeance, but ours is a garment of praise. Because he's avenger. We're the praisers. He's the avenger. We're the praisers. Okay? And then we have the shoes, and we have our loins girt about, the loins of our mind girt about with truth. Truth. The Holy Spirit, John 15 says when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead us and guide us into all truth. And the Bible says there is no truth out there. So he's given us the garment of truth, the garment of praise, the belt of truth, helmet of salvation, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He even gave us shoes to wear so that we can go where we need to go in peace. Father, thank you. Lord, I just delivered this word. I'm just going to leave it with us. And Father, I know in my heart that, Lord, there could be many here tonight that say, no, I've been praying for justice. Or maybe you haven't. Maybe you thought, I haven't even thought about asking for justice. I just thought, well, you know, that's just going to happen. Well, now you know. He said, you ask me for justice because I went through a lot. My arm is not too short. I was the first one to make sure. It made me so unhappy to see the injustice. It displeased me. So I came down myself and I put on my helmet and breastplate and then I went away, but I left you one. I left you my same helmet, my same breastplate, my same shoes, peace. I left you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. So, Father, thank you. Come on, lift your hand and just give him praise. Come on, just lift your hand and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we don't even have words in our mouth. But I pray that the word will come alive and these sweet people, just this little handful of people we've got right here at Landmark, we matter. Oh, yeah, we matter. This, every single person in this room, every elder, every youth, every woman, every man, every grandfather, grandmother, we all matter to you. And so, Lord, you have heard this. May you draw us, Holy Spirit, to the Word of God. May everyone in this room that just heard this word put the word in their, not only in their heart, but may it be in their mouth that they will speak it. They'll speak that word. They will speak it. And then let it go down to their children. Help us to talk about maybe just the scripture to the children. And then they're their big kids. And the kids grow up and their children and their children. Oh, just so. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you'll raise up that standard against him in Jesus' name. And they will fear the Lord, not us, but they'll fear you because of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, isn't the word just awesome, guys? Isn't the word just awesome? Hallelujah.